Hello there, thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. And what a weekend it is. The ARC, the world's most important flat race, takes place on Sunday. Before then, we've got a host of great action to get stuck into. I'm Bruce Millington, and helping me to get stuck into that action are David Jennings and Keith Melrose. And Keith, 2 weeks ago, you two were on, and the pair of you absolutely tipped the lights out. I mean, DJ got a gold star for his Bielsa tip in the Cambridgeshire, but I mean, you were just in ridiculous form. When I didn't see you on the list for last week's show, I was wondering whether you'd retired and were in Hawaii or something. It was great effort, mate. Well done. I hope you managed to win a few quid.
I did, yeah. I was thinking, you texted me during it and I said, it's one of the few weekends where I regret not putting on any sort of multiple, really. Yeah, it was just one of those weekends. And then, though, as luck would have it, following week I was on price-wise and didn't get anything and hit the bar several times. So, you know, it goes up and it goes down, but that was a really good weekend, your Gold Cup weekend for me, so thanks.
This is more important than price-wise, don't worry about that. Okay, right then, let's go. ITV4 are your hosts for the TV racing on Saturday, and they're at Newmarket and Ascot. The best stuff is at Newmarket, and the best race there is the 255, the Kingdom of Bahrain Sun Chariot Stakes, Group 1 for the fillies, over a mile, 13 runners, and very competitive. Snow Lantern favourite at 5-2, Mother Earth 7-2, Saffron Beach 7-1, No Speak Alexander 9-1, Lavender's Blue 12, Fevrover 14, and it's 16-1 bar. Let's see if anyone's offering some decent each way. Yes, William Hill, 5 places. Skybet, 5 places. Betfair, 4 places. Paddy Power, 4 places. So do shop around, not just for best prices, but best each way terms. We'll start with, we'll get David Jennings' No Speak Alexander tip out of the way. This is one of those races where he just goes for the Jesse Harrington. Am I right?
Do you know what? You are right, but
I knew I was right. You're trying to make out that you're surprised that I knew you tipped Jessica Harrington's horse.
No, I liked this horse as a 2-year-old last season, but like, I would say up until 10 minutes ago, I possibly wasn't tipping No Speak Alexander. So it's just a pure coincidence that you've actually got that right, to be honest.
It's not.
It is.
You can't help it. You're drawn to her. You're obsessed. No. She is your Rafe Beckett to me. You cannot get enough of Jessica Harrington's horses.
All I can say is I think she had 32 winners in September. So I wish I was more drawn to her, and I wish our relationship was blossoming in September, because I would be a very rich man now. So I would, because she is the most informed trainer in the world anywhere, because her strike rate at the minute is just ridiculous. But I'll just give you my reason for No Speak Alexander, Bruce. No Speak Alexander is 9-1, and Mother Earth is a best price 7-2. Okay, you can argue, of course you can, that Mother Earth should have won the maiden run and was unlucky in running, and it was a messy race with Shane Foley got suspended for careless riding. But how far would Mother Earth have won if she did get a clear run in the maiden run? My guess is half a length, 3/4 of a length max, possibly a neck ahead, or possibly been beaten in neck or head. So the prices, I think, do not reflect the level of ability between the two horses and how close they would have finished there. And also, to add to that, the ground is going to be so much softer here than it was at Leperson that day for the matron. And that massively brings No Speak Alexander into it, because can you remember at the Curragh for 1,000 Guineas Day, Irish 1,000 Guineas Day, the ground was bottomless and No Speak Alexander was only beaten a length by Empress Josephine. So I think the ground brings No Speak Alexander into it even more so than that run in the matron. And 9-1 and 7-2, there's just too much of a difference in between the prices. So I think No Speak Alexander is the value, Bruce.
Okay, thank you, DJ. We should just mention the going currently good to soft at Newmarket. And I think it's good to soft at Ascot at the moment as well. But there is rain forecast. We're not quite sure. The latest I'm looking at on the forecast is that it'll actually hit during racing. So we'll see what that does to it. Certainly be some cut. Keith, this is an interesting race, isn't it? Who have you landed on?
Yeah, it is an interesting race. And I hope DJ's right about the rain and it being much softer. As you say, the rain, it is a case of whether it arrives, because whether we get extreme ground or just slightly soft ground is dependent on when that rain arrives. I'm having a bet in this race. If the rain doesn't come early, it's probably a FOMO bet. And if the rain does come, though, you're on a proper bet, lads, because I would imagine Epona Plays would get back quite a lot on testing ground. She was also in that matron stakes and wasn't mentioned. She finished 5th. She was only half a length behind Mother Earth. Didn't have quite the same excuses that Mother Earth did, of course, but I just think she lacked that little bit of pace in a race at Leopardstown that wasn't all that well run. A stiffer mile on more testing ground is going to suit her, not least because her best performance to date came in a Group 2 on soft, heavy ground at the Curragh back in May. She looked like she absolutely revelled in conditions there. So if the ground is coming up genuinely soft, I think Epona Plays is a big player at 25-1. If it doesn't come up, I can't have said this about a 25-1 shot and not backed her, so I'm backing her anyway. But yeah, it's there's a little bit of dependency on the rain there. I just think she's been overlooked.
Okay, Epona Plays for Keith and No Speak Alexander for David Jennings. We're off and running. Let's go back to the first of the TV races at Newmarket, the 145. It's the British EBF Premier Fillies Handicap over a mile and two, and it's wide open. Akelwar is 11-2. Ensemble is 6-1. State Occasion 8-1. Swoon 9-1. Evident Beauty 10. Tal Bayar 11, Ms. Gandhi 12, Princess Nadia 12, 14 bar. Blimey, tricky this one, Keithy.
Certainly is. You can come down on one and be hugely confident, I wouldn't have thought, because you could have a horse that improves £5 and finishes third. I think Ensemble should probably be favourite. I like the form. She's obviously improved by the run through her novice runs. Going into a handicap at Lingfield last time and finished, she was wide all the way, which obviously isn't often that bad around Lingfield, but Mrs Fitzherbert, she's been married since, beat her, got an even more of a Lingfield ride. Came right down the wide outside and nabbed her late. Won by half the track off her revised mark in a 0-80 next time, so clearly a progressive horse. Ensemble's only gone up £2, shaped like just about the best horse in the race to me. She's a big strapping sort. She's going to suit a mile or two even more. You know, I think she had a favourites chance in an open race, and therefore I'd probably be looking to back her at about 6-1.
David?
This is tricky, Bruce. This is probably the trickiest race of the day, I'd say. Talbea is the one that I've landed on for Owen Burrows and Ray Dawson. I actually really did like the run from her last time at Jarmuth. It was a listed race. She was 14-1. She was out of her ground on ratings. But I just love the way she travelled against the far rail at Jarmuth. And sometimes on that far rail, you just need a bit of luck in running, and I'm not saying she would have won or anything, but I think she would have finished a bit closer if she got a little bit more room. I think she's a filly going places, and I don't think we've quite seen the best of her yet. I thought at Chepstow back in April, I thought she was going to be one of these fillies that would progress into a proper group performer. She just hasn't quite done it yet, but I do think we're going to see more from her this autumn, and I think she's well handicapped off 94, so I'll go for Talbea.
Thank you very much, chaps. We move on to the 220 at Newmarket, the £150,000 Tattersall's October Auction Stakes. 6 furlongs, Fear by the favourite 4-1, Tatsumaki 7s, A Day in Asia 8s, Foden is 11s, Ernie's Valentine 12, Piffle 12, 14 bar. My goodness me, lads, how many runners we got? We've got 30 runners. I mean, this is, goodness me. At the moment, no one's offering more than 5 places. That is bound to change. I mean, you said the last race could be the toughest of the day, DJ. I mean, hopefully you've managed to see this a bit more clearly, because I can't.
Yeah, it's a funny race, this, Bruce. Like, if you go back, just say, for argument's sake, to 2019, Under the Stars was rated 105 and was sent off 5-4 favourite, massive field again, and beat an 81 rated horse by a short head, only given a £4. So it's a funny sort of a race, because a lot of these juveniles are unexposed and we haven't seen the best of them yet. So Tatsumaki, we have no idea how good Tatsumaki is. No idea whatsoever. Bolted up at Newcastle last time. Could be anything. Running against Fearby, who's rated 104, and we probably know roughly how good he is. He's in around somewhere between 100 and 106, I'd say. So Tatsumaki has to run to that level, getting whatever, a couple of pounds, has to run above 100 probably to win this race. So you look at the bet and you say, what's the chance of that happening? And I don't think the chance of that happening are factored into the prices. I think Fearby is rock solid, has ran really well in the top juvenile races. Like, that Mill Reef was a good Mill Reef, and he was bang there, beating a length and 3/4. I think it's a bit like Under the Stars 2 years ago. I think he's going to be too good for these. And the big field kind of gives you the impression that it's wide open, but I'm not quite sure it is. I think 4-1 about Fearby. Ryan Moore booked. I think that's too big.
Keith, which horse won this and then went on to win a Group 1?
I know this one because I looked at the past winners this morning, and he's the biggest price winner of this race in recent years. It's Accidental Agent.
Jumped out of me, that one.
Yeah, he came, he was drawn 30 the year he won and came right down the stand rail to win that. Now, the reason you're not getting more than five places, I would have suggested, is because it's maybe a little bit like the US Masters in that you can toss out half the field before you get started. There's a lot of these horses that you would imagine aren't going to be good enough. The other thing, of course, is you'll end up, you can end up with massive biases on the track here because you're, well, the way I'm approaching it is that you always get a group on the stand side, the near side. You usually get a group on the far side, but that's not guaranteed. So I'm erring towards maybe sort of the higher drawn numbers that have got a bit of good form. And the one that I've come down on is Ernie's Valentine, who, because of the way the conditions for this race work, he's got a little bit more weight than you maybe like to see, but he's only just started to improve. He won an early season maiden, got sent to Royal Ascot, but it's only in his last two starts he's really taken off, and he won as he liked at Chelmsford last time, really. He was only getting going at the line. It was solid rather than spectacular handicap form, but he's beat them nearly two lengths comfortably. That puts him in the top three or four in the field in terms of form. He's drawn in 25 out of 30. Just got a lot going for him in that position. If you're betting in the enhanced place terms market, Ernie's Valentine is the one I'd be looking for those enhanced place terms.
Okay, we're back with Ascot. Before you can write down the word anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose. Four ITV4 races at Ascot for you on Saturday, starting with the 205, the Oakman Group Rouse Stakes. A listed race over five furlongs. No short prices yet on the card, and this is no exception. Hurricane Ivor 3-1, Tis Marvellous 9-2, Dakota Gold 5-1, Significantly 7-1, and 8-1 bar. And we'll start with Keith. This Hurricane Ivor is very progressive. Can he take this to notch the hat trick?
I think he can. It's a horse that he's always been threatening to take the sort of improvement he has in recent starts. And the reason he has done, given a greater test than the Bare Five Furlongs when he was third to Copper Knight at York. That's, you know, it's a bit of a speed track at York, even though it was an extended five. The Portland, obviously, is an intermediate 5.5. And in Newbury, they went a nice good clip for him there and he got up. He was doing all his best work at the finish. This is Ascot. It's obviously a stiffer track than Newbury with that big uphill finish. The ground's going to be, you know, on the softer side, which is going to help a horse that sees out the trip very well. And he's drawn 9-9 with the stalls on the stand side. He's beaten a lot of these horses last time. I think he should be shorter than 3-1. I genuinely think he talked about us not having a short price favourite yet, but if Hurricane Ivor was sitting here at, you know, 2-1, 15-8, I'd have no complaints. So I've got to put him up at threes.
Keith's going for Hurricane Ivor. David's going for...
Oh, Minzal. Oh, I've been waiting all year for Minzal, Bruce. Obviously, you're taking some amount on trust here and you're hoping that Owen Burrows has got him back to something like he showed at two. But like, for this horse to be making his debut this season on the first or the second day of October means he's obviously showing the right signs. The easiest thing in the world would be to hold off till next season. But like, this horse should be different class to these. Like, when you look back at his Gimcrack performance last year, which earned him an RPR of 114, he was absolutely breathtaking, I thought. I thought speed-wise, he was as good as any juvenile last season. He ran then, I thought it was a bit of a mess, the middle part for him. It just didn't happen for him on the day. He still ran well. He was beaten less than three lengths. He finished third. But I just think the fact that he's kept him in training is a real positive. And I just love this horse. I think he's got bundles of speed. I think he's going to be far better over five than he was over six last season. And I thought he was going to contest all the Group 1 sprints this season. He's obviously had problems, but the fact that he's back, I will be all over Minzal.
Oh, sounds like a potential nap. That one we'll find out later. 2:40 Ascot, mile and a half the trip. It's the ABF BGC Cumberland Lodge, a Group 3. Huckham 9-4, Title 4, Quickthorn 9-2, Illarab 6, Alanak 8, Alignac. They're always running against each other, these two, 11-1. Watch your bets. Wells Fargo 25 and Eagles by Day is 40. So we've got eight runners. which brings in a bit of each way possibility for us. And DJ's going to tell us what the best bet is.
I don't think it's a bet and raise, Bruce, because I think if the real Hookham shows up, he wins. But whether the real Hookham will show up or not, I really don't know. Apparently, he made a noise last time at Kempton when he was beaten by Hamish. Just didn't look. I know commentator was stressing how well he was travelling, but I just didn't think he looked like the real Hookham there. The Hookham we saw at in the Jeffrey Freer at Newbury. It's a tricky one, Bruce. As I said, I think he's going to win. Would I back him at 9-4? Probably not, given what he showed at Kempton, but I couldn't back anything against him either.
Okay, fair enough. Keith?
Yeah, not too dissimilar to DJ, because Hookham, if he's a horse that he looked to me sort of last year and has flashed a bit of ankle at times this year, yeah, he probably does win, but I don't think you can bank on that. And there's a horse in here that at 3x the price I do think is worth backing, and that's Ila Rab, who really progressive in handicaps early in the year and a really likeable sort of horse with it. This is probably the easiest task he's faced since he went on that winning run that finished in May there. And, you know, he's been running in the Hardwick, he's run in the Ebor, and he ran last time in the Arc trial that's not an Arc trial. This is much easier for him. He's actually got form claims that are as good as Hookham's. So, yeah, I just thought 6-1 was a good price.
What's happening in the background there? Is someone playing an electric organ, or has one of the kids one of those toys going on?
Nothing to do with the kids. Somebody's trying to phone my wife on Skype, but she's in the garden.
Oh, blimey. Oh, well. Okay, we got that loud and clear. Ila Rab for Keith. Right, then let's move on now to the 3:15 at Ascot. It's the John Guest Racing Ben Gough Stakes. Group 3, 6 furlongs. Glen Shield, 3-1. Great Ambassador, 4. Bielsa, 7s. Diligent Harry, 9. Kingsley, 9. 12 bar, DJ.
Great Ambassador for me, actually, here. I am of the opinion that was Bielsa's big day in the sun. That was everything to Bielsa. Everything was geared towards that day, and he produced the goods against the rail. Possibly it was a positive where he was. But, I thought Great Ambassador won the real race fair and square. I think he's getting better with every run. I think next year he will be contesting possibly Group 1 sprints, and I think this could be another step on the ladder. I expect that form to be reversed, and I think it might be good enough. Glen Shield is not in great form, despite the rating saying he should be very hard to beat. So Great Ambassador, I think, will turn the tables with Bielsa, Bruce.
Let's see what Keith thinks.
Yeah, it deserves to be shorter than Bielsa. I thought the bet in the race, you have to take a little bit of a chance on the ground conditions, and it's Diligent Harry, who's been quite a progressive horse this sort of level, really. And he's drawn a little bit better than some of the horses that are ahead of him in the betting. It's not a bit of any great conviction, but this horse is progressive, and I think we're maybe feeling to see the wood for the trees a little bit. He was very much fancied earlier in the season.
Okay, 3:50 at Ascot is the Equine Productions The Fool Challenge Cup. Don't ask me what that means. It's a heritage handicap. There's 7 furlongs, there's 18 runners, there's 64 grand to the winner, and there's an 11-2 favourite in River Nymph. Skybet 6 places. Aldari 13-2. Al Rufa 7-1. Aratus is 9-1. Fresh is 9-1. Escobar's 12s. So Star of Orion. And it's 14 by so many tricky races so far today, lads. I mean, the Newmarket and the Ascot races between them, I don't think I've seen a horse shorter than 3-1. Who's going to win this, Keith?
River Nymph's got a lot going for him, but I'm not sure about that draw in 7 particularly. You know, stalls are stand side at Ascot. You probably want a horse run a bit higher than that, ideally. I struggle to see why Udalali was 14-1, to be quite honest. He is obviously a progressive horse. His only little blip this season was a listed race at Chester where he was drawn widest. Beyond that, he's been a very, very progressive horse. And last time he won at the glorious meeting at Goodwood, you could argue he was in the right place on the track that day. But, you know, he's in the right place on the track here, drawn 15 in a big race like this. He's only gone up £2 for that. The condition, obviously, that was Stewards' Cup day when the ground was pretty soft, and so he's got no fears if it comes up soft again. I thought 14-1 was a bit of a silly price, to be honest, and especially if you're going to get some nice each way terms.
Righty ho, and DJ.
Boring, Bruce. Very boring. River Nymph. Ascot 7 furlongs, cutting the ground. River Nymph only £4 higher than the mark he won off here earlier in the season. He's going to be really hard to beat.
Okay, let's move across to Longchamp now. It's Art Weekend, and the highlight of the first day is the 2:15. It's the Qatar Prix de Cadran over 2 mile, 4 furlongs. What a race we've got. Listen to this. Princess Zoe, lovely Princess Zoe, 9-4. Trushan is 9-4. Stradivarius is 100-30. Yes, you heard that right. Stradivarius, 100-30. It's 12-1 bar. It looks like it's going to be an absolute bog. I mean, the weather forecast in Paris this weekend is dreadful. So we'll see whether they will stand the ground, and we'll see who's going to win. And to tell us who they think that will be first is Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I'm sort of hoping that he does arrive in Paris purely for the terms of this race. I mean, I think if it does come like that, the Stradivarius run.
It's funny because I think he should, but I think he might not.
Well, of course he should. Sense. I've written the analysis for this race already, actually, and pointed out for the umpteenth time that the best run of Stradivarius' career came on soft ground.
Exactly. So I don't quite know why Gosden keeps, you know, is so sure he has this diversion.
It's partly because Gosden can say what he likes, isn't it? says it with a wink, and you know everybody thinks it's great. But I don't think it stands up to reality with Stradivarius. He should run, but if the rain comes heavily enough, he probably won't. That opens up a bit of an each way angle in the race. It's really the Cadran is often one of the weakest Group Ones in Europe, actually, and I think that maybe for that, just to sneak in that third place, that Stratum's 33-1 and might be the one to fill that third place. I get the impression they've been working towards something with him this year, and the weakest Group One in Europe might have been it. So if the first three turn up, I don't think he can make it into the first three, but I'm actually hoping Stradivarius doesn't run to give me a little bit of a look at the third place. And if that happens, I'd probably put up Stratum each way.
Well, there is some four places on the go for you, Keith.
Well, that would maybe tempt me anyway.
Okay, right. DJ, how are you going to approach this?
I just thought Trushan would win, Bruce. Like Princess Zoe, this has been her ultimate aim all season. She was brilliant to catch Alcuin in the race last year, and it was a momentous day and magical for like a stable like Tony Mullins, and it was just great for Joey Sheridan. But like, this is a different Cadran to last year's Cadran. This is a proper Cadran. This is a class race. And you just say to yourself, 2.5 miles, bottomless ground, what do you want? You really do want Trushan, I think. I know obviously Holly Doyle is not riding, but James Doyle takes over. Like, this is his time of year, really. This is his ground. I can't understand why he's not a good bit shorter. I'd have him closer to even, to be honest with you. I thought Trushan would win.
It's interesting, actually, Nick, that Princess Zoe, she does look a little bit, you know, she stands out a little bit in terms of how short she is, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that I wouldn't say any of these have had the Cadran as their ultimate aim, whereas Princess Zoe probably has. And, you know, she was still second in the Gold Cup, which is a fair effort. Like,
oh, yeah, it was. And it was that's the thing where she's almost the inverse of Stradivarius. They think she needs it soft, but she was nearly put out the Gold Cup, I believe. But she's actually run about as well. In fact, that is the best run of her career in RPRs, and it was on good to form.
Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it? Almost like the sort of the opposite of Stradivarius, where they're convinced she needs cut, but the form book tells you otherwise. Okay, we will be returning to Longchamp very shortly for the Arc. Can't wait to hear what the lads fancy for that. But before then, let's wrap up the rest of Saturday. Loads and loads of racing going on. Don't give your naps away. Just tell us anything else you think the listeners should back. David Jennings.
Yeah, it's a bit mad, Bruce, this time of year, isn't it, where you've got like the Arc weekend and you've got a Group 1 at Newmarket and you've also got Goran Park, which is staging like really good jump racing. And put the kettle on, last year's Queen Mother Champion Chase Hero is back in action in the PWC Champion Chase at Goran Park. And it's actually a fascinating race because Easy Game is in there, Hardline is in there, Royal Rendezvous, who won the Galway Plate, is in there. So it's a really, really good race. And I actually thought Easy Game would be hard to beat here. Put the kettle on. She's a little bit vulnerable, 2.5 miles, first run of the season. I don't think you're going to see the put the kettle on we saw in the Champion Chase. Easy Game has had a run under his belt. He's had a couple of runs second in the Galway Plate. It was very impressive, I thought, Lestole when giving way to Bally O'Sheen. And the market is kind of priced up here, 5-2, Easy Game. Joint favourites with Put the Kettle On, but I think Easy Game deserves to be favourite given his recent form. So I thought he'd be extremely hard to beat. That's a 3:20 at Goran Park, that race.
How exciting is that, by the way, DJ? Put the Kettle On is running. I mean, great. Yes. Love it.
Just one other one at Goran Park, Bruce. In the 505, it's a rated novice chase, the Captain Christie, which used to be running at Clonmel. Spagyrt are Trumps turned the corner last time for Gavin Cromwell and Mark Walsh. Just thought, got the job done really well at Kilbeggan. I actually thought this horse was going to progress into quite a smart chaser. It's taken his time to do so. That was his first win after 10 starts, but I thought he was really impressive. He's rated 123, and the second favourite is likely to be Golden Spread. He's rated 117, so I think he's got a bit on hand on ratings, and I'd say he'll probably win this race quite convincingly. That's Spades are Trumps in the 505 at Goran Park.
Thank you very much, DJ. Keith, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I've got two sort of away bets, and I've decided at the last minute to make one of them a nap, so I won't give you that one just now.
Okay.
The other one runs in a 4.48 at Chester, and it's Flood Defence for Ian Jardine. Well-handicapped horse. It's one off £5 higher than the mark of 61 it's got today. And as shaped last time at Tamilton, ran behind Coman, sort of staying on third, given the impression that maybe the time's about coming. And before that, it'd run well to finish second over hurdles as well. So a horse that's coming back to form is off a very good mark. Has Adam Faraha claiming five off his back as well. Or her back, I should say, who's a useful claimer, drawn in two round Chester, although it doesn't matter that much over a mile, 5.5, but it can do. The thing with it's an Ian Jardine horse, and there's often a plan with the Jardine horses, and if you're on the wrong side of the plan, you can end up with egg on your face. But it looks like there's a lot going for Flood Defence here, and it might be the day they decide that that she is coming back to form and that it's time to make use of that good mark. So 4.48 at Chester, Flood Defence.
Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Keith Melrose.
So I changed from Hurricane Ivor because I think DJ is going to put up his horse in that race. It was a close one thing anyway, but the other one is in the 3 o'clock at Redcar, the race before the 2-year-old trophy there. It's a staying handicap for, you know, its usual sort of horses you'd expect to see in a race like this. A couple of 3-year-olds in there and one that's been sort of half on my list most of the year, Norman Kindu, who won in April at Weatherby, did well to overcome Cara Clement in that race, came from last about 3 furlongs out, and on 3 starts since, finished tailed off in a race at Weatherby where it was so wet they called it off 20 minutes later, the whole meeting, shaped as if a miss in another race at Nottingham, and then shaped like the best horse at Nottingham last time. In against older horses for the first time, because those were all 3-year-old handicaps. It looks a really interesting horse to me, Norman Kindu, in the 3 o'clock at Redcar.
Thank you very much. Keith, what have you got for us, DJ?
Sure, Keith read my mind. 205 Ascot. I've been waiting for Minzal to come out all year. This is a sprinter that could make it to the very top. I'm just keeping fingers, toes and everything crossed that he's the Minzal that we saw last season. But 8-1 Minzal. Like, that's not even double the price he should be. It's 3 times the price he should be. So Minzal, 8-1, 205 Ascot.
Okay, let's get the ARC views next.
Racing Post Members Club is the only subscription that includes access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m. Plus, exclusive premium content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. As a listener of the Postcast, you can enter the code POSTCAST21, that's POSTCAST21, to get 50% off your first 3 months. Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe, and choose Get Ultimate Monthly to get started. That's code POSTCAST21.
Welcome back. Okay, the best flat race in the world takes place at 3:05 at Longchamp on Sunday. It's the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe over 1.5 miles. Can't wait for this. Very competitive, very high class. Here are the best prices. You can get 5 places with certain firms. I will name check them. Betfair, Paddy Power and Skybet. Good on them. 15 runners. 100 to 30 Adyar, 100 to 30 Tarnawa, 4 to 1 Hurricane Lane, 5 Snowfall, 12 Chronogenesis, 20 Love and 25 Bar. Before you tell us who you fancy, lads, can you just call out the names of the horses that are likely to be suited by the very soft underfoot conditions?
Okay, so suited are not overly inconvenienced. What's the way you want?
Well, go with suited first.
Okay, suited, I would say Tarnawa obviously is one. I would say Snowfall, even though they argue otherwise. Snowfall, I think, will be fine. Hurricane Lane obviously will be fine as well, because Hurricane Lane, you could argue Hurricane Lane's most impressive performance in the Grand Prix de Paris on very soft ground. So most of those at the top of the market are fine, Bruce.
Keith, what about you?
Yeah, I would say that there's only horse that I'm put off by the prospect of really testing ground is probably Chrono Genesis.
Okay. Right then, let's see who's going to win, and we're going to start with Keith.
Yeah, I've been of this mind for a long time. The market's finally coming into line. Hurricane Lane should be just about what were the favourites for this. It is a horse I really, really like. There are, you know, he's coming here under the standard of St. Ledger winner, and people are saying, oh, Ledger winners have never won the Ark, blah, blah. But this, look, it's a false flag. This horse, he might have won the Ledger, but he's not a Ledger winner. There's two bits of evidence for that that says he's a mile and a half horse, and actually quite a quick one. The first is the when here in a Grand Prix de Paris, he recorded three consecutive sub 12-second furlongs, including one, the second last furlong, when he put two lengths into absolutely everything except Alankia, who's the only other Group 1 horse in the race, to be honest. But that was there's some fast sectionals in that race. He did the same at Doncaster in the St. Ledger, three consecutive furlongs at under 12 seconds. Slow mile and a half horses can't really do that. And also at Doncaster, his Strife Frequency said that he was cruising at 2.2, he was quickening to 2.3. That's not a slow horse's Strife Frequency. He is not a slow horse. He is fast enough for this race. The only reason his form is less than Adyar's is mostly because he hasn't had the chance against older horses yet. Now he gets his chance. He's drawn in stall two. He's probably going to need a gap drawn that low. If he gets it, I think Hurricane Lane's got a massive chance of winning the Arc.
What does 2.2 and 2.3 mean?
It's the amount of strides per second. So okay. A sprinter can go as high as 2.5. Your jumpers are going 2. And there's it can be splitting hairs, that analysis. It's more about the sectionals are a little bit more sort of, you know, really rock concrete evidence. But, you know, it's nice to have that behind it as well. I'm sure this isn't a slow horse at a mile and a half.
OK, David Jennings, who's your Arc selection?
Mine is Tarnawa, Bruce. And I know this is probably a stupid way of looking at it, perhaps, but like,
the nicest name or the prettiest silks.
No, not at all. Obviously, those in and around Tarnawa in the market are all 3-year-olds. So the prices were always going to fluctuate throughout the season. But like back like 3 months ago on the first day of June, I think with Paddy Power, Adyar was 66-1, Hurricane Lane was not even quoted, Snowfall was 33-1, and Tarnawa was 7-1. Okay, so obviously the 3-year-olds have made a massive jump up and they've proven themselves to be a vintage crop. But it's just in the back of my head that Tarnawa all season, every time I spoke to Dermot Weld, Arc, Ultimate Aim, Arc, she's coming back later because of the Arc. It's all about the Arc. We're not bringing her back till the autumn. We're gearing her towards an autumn campaign. And that just screams to me that she is going to peak on this day. And you know what? Looking back on the Irish Champion Stakes, I'm not sure how hard of a race she actually had. They sprinted for 3 furlongs. She was carried right. Colin Keane could never really get properly stuck into her because he was always getting carried out to his right. And I just wonder, was it actually a blessing in disguise in the end? And that she might not have left her Arc behind her at Leopardstown. Like, her form is unbelievable. Like, you know, you can say what you want about St. Mark's Basilica, and everybody was laughing about Aidan saying that he's the best horse he's ever trained. But he's in the top 10, like, and he's an exceptional horse. And Tarnawa pushed him every step of the way over a trip that was too short for her on ground that was too quick for her. I thought that was a hell of a performance. She's a winning machine. This is her day. And I think she's the one that's going to win the Arc. So Tarnawa, you can get 130. That's fine. I think Tarnawa will win it.
St. Mark's Basilica. Yeah, it was an interesting one, that, wasn't it? Aidan O'Brien said he might have been one of the best horses O'Brien's ever trained, but he just never got the chance because he was campaigned like an O'Brien horse. Isn't that the thing with St. Mark's Basilica?
No, he won 5 Group 1s in a row, Keith.
No, but he was, you know, the reason we talked about how, it was mentioned on Twitter, about how Aidan O'Brien's, he's never had, like, on ratings, a great, because they're not ridden like that. And St. Mark's Basilica was a bit like that anyway, because his turn of foot was incredible. He was a brilliant horse. But he was, you know, he's been retired because he's achieved everything he might achieve, whereas, you know, Judd Mont would have kept a horse like him in training, probably. I think that's the difference. St. Mark's Basilica was a brilliant horse. He might have been the best O'Brien ever trained. And I think he might have shown it had he been, you know, campaigned a bit differently.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay, dokes. Let's not go down that turning. Very interesting, though, it is. Guys, I'm going to give you a go at a long shot because, you know what it's like with the art. You often get a horse at a massive price run into the frame. And obviously, you know, we've got a big four in the market here. Then we've got Chrono Genesis on his own. And then there's a whole raft of horses that you kind of, I must admit, when you look down, you're like, why is he such a big price? Why are they such a big price? So is there a horse, if we're getting extra places, that is worth backing at a massive price, do you think, Keith?
Yeah, it's probably Ankier. My arc rag look is being saved for this afternoon when I write up the full analysis, but at first glance, I thought Alankier. He's not, I don't think he'll ever be good enough to win an arc, but he's obviously got the soft ground form and he's getting better all the time. I can see him being good enough to run it the first three or four. So yeah, I think he'd be the sort of the big swing for the fences if I was having one.
Okay, we've got five places with some firms, haven't we? DJ, do you want to have a little go at Glory?
Yeah, do you know what? I actually don't think this year, because this, so many of those towards top of the market seem rock solid, that I don't think we will get something that's going to fit into the places at a huge price. But I could see Broome finishing in the first five, and Broome is 66-1. But I'd be surprised if he finished in the first three.
That's right. First five, you will get paid out. Just a quick word on Adeyar, Keith. Obviously, Derby winner, followed up in the King George. What's not to like about him?
Not an awful lot, to be honest. I mean, you don't... 11's probably a less than ideal draw, I would have thought. And I think you could see about his form. You know, in the Derby, the proper horse that you beat, Hurricane Lane, had excuses. At Ascot, you're going to have to say that's not the best of Mishriff that you've seen. You know, he probably is a slightly better horse at a mile two, Mishriff. So, you know, maybe if you're splitting hairs, you can see that he's beating names more than he's beating rock solid form, but he's clearly a very, very good horse. I just think he's had the opportunities to show that more than Hurricane Lane. So it's sort of it's not a negative argument about him. It's the idea that there's more positives potentially about others, particularly stablemate.
Okay, fair enough. Let's do what I always think is the highlight of the undercard. It's the Prix de l'Abbé over five furlongs, sponsored by Longines. Swayzer 9-4 Fav, Glass Slippers 5-1, Winter Power 6, Bernay 8, Romantic Proposal 10, 16-1 Bar, the usual big field, 15 runners. Let's see who's offering extra places. Skybet 5 places. DJ, have you managed to suss the Abbé?
Oh yeah, this is surely the banker of the day. I think Swayzer will win this. I thought her run in the Nunthorp was exceptional. She was beaten, she was on the wrong side, she was way out of her ground, and she was beaten 2.5 lengths. I thought that was a really good run. I think she is the best of these, and I think she's a bigger price than she should be. I think she'll win.
Okay, Keith.
Yeah, I can sort of see that. I mean, what I looked at in this race is obviously the Abbey can be a bit of a draw race. You want to be in the low stalls, and a lot of the big players in this are actually wide. Swayzer's 12. I was ready to put up Bernoy against her, but he's in 14. So, you know, let's admit that Swayzer only really has a draw against her in terms of potentially winning this race. And, you know, what I think is really fun about the Abbey is there's some horses that turn up and win or get close in that race. You think, how on earth has that gone close in a group?
Yeah,
it's one of those races, isn't it? And there's not an awful lot in the low numbered stalls. So I thought, let's have a little look at these horses in a low number of stalls and see if there's a massive swing I can have at one. And I found one. I found one that's 40-1 that might run quite well, and that's O'Trasno, who's never run at five furlongs before, but last time ran in a group 3/6 at Deauville and plainly got tired. Like, you could see the stride shortening as it got towards the line. Before that, made all the running, I think, in a listed race at Deauville, and win quite comprehensively from a horse that won again comprehensively at Chantilly the next time. So he only had 8 runs in his life or so, O'Trasno. Might get to bag that rail from stall 3. Never run over 5 and promises to be suited by it. You know, if you're looking for your how did that finish close in the Abbey horse, I'd maybe go for O'Trasno.
Okay, I do find it the most bewildering race to follow, by the way. When you're there, first of all, if you're there, you can't see anything because they put a temporary grandstand up. As with Sandown, the five furlong track goes right down the middle there. and B, the camera angles, they seem to switch from side to side every race. So
that's mad.
Then there's about 8 winning posts. So you basically just have to kind of ask someone who won that, and then you find out. But it's
I've seen more plausible renewals of Dick Dastardly's Wacky Races than Prix de l'Abbé's.
Yeah,
it's absolutely wild.
It's crazy. It really is. Okay, don't forget ITV are showing the Arc, and they're also showing the 115, which is the Marcel Boussac, as well as the 150, which is the Lagardère. I presume they've also been convinced as part of the deal to get the rights to show the Arab race that features before the Arc. 6 group ones on a fantastic card. We've covered 2 of them. Is there anything else that particularly catches your eye, DJ?
Yeah, I think Space Blues is as close you can get to unbeatable over 7 when things go right. And I think he'll win the Farre. He's just your perfect 7 furlong horse. And I think he's proven himself before to be better than these, and I think he'll prove it again. So Space Blues in the 5 o'clock, which is the Farre. And one other one from me. I'll just get the time right for you, Bruce.
No, you say it, and I'll say the time, mate, because you're so good, and I don't mind.
It's actually easier to say the time than the name. the pre Jean-Luc Lagardère.
That's it.
Yeah, so there you go. I thought...
You still haven't said the time.
I thought you were going to say the time.
All right, 150.
Yeah, I ain't going to give Noble Truth a chance in this. I think there's too much of a difference in the price. You get 9-1 about him, and it's 11-4 about Ebro River. I think there's still more improvement to come from Noble Truth. He's a big, kind of gross individual, a son of Kingman. And I thought this was the right race for him to go to with him. They have a good handle on the juveniles. They've got Godolphin and Charlie Appleby have basically the best couple of juveniles in training at the moment, and the fact that they go here with Noble Truth is interesting. I thought 9-1 was too big of a price. It doesn't look a vintage renewal of the race at all.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Keith, what else have you got for us?
I'm very glad DJ mentioned Space Blues and Noble Truth, because they were two horses that I fancied, but I wasn't quite sure I fancied them strong enough to mention them. But what I'll do is I'll just add my little sort of push behind DJ and say, yeah, I sort of fancied both of them too. Ebro River, I just wanted to get him beat in the Lagardère, so that was part of the reason for Noble Truth. There was one horse on this card that it's the one, you know, when you're looking through a card and sometimes you'll go, right, well, I'll come back, I'll have a look at that horse's price and maybe back it later. There was one horse I was looking at the prices and thought, oh, I'm backing that right now, because that price looks extremely wrong. And it was in the Opera, the 350. And I just didn't know why Ziada was 16s. Just couldn't get my head around it at all. You know, she was second to Lady Beaufort in the Nassau 2 starts back. And, you know, it's the old Keeley line that if it should come straight here, she'd be 5-1. She'd run next time in a Group 2 at Deauville. And, you know, she couldn't have done any more wrong. She missed the break by a long way. She pulled hard. She had to come wide on the bend to make any sort of challenge. Just write it off. Just chuck it out. And, you know, I don't think this is the strongest Opera you'll ever see in your life. Ziada should not be 16s. I was expecting to see half that. I've backed it already.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. Hopefully that's given you plenty of food for thought for a fantastic weekend. Don't forget, do bet responsibly. Don't turn what should be a fantastic weekend into a miserable one by losing more than you can afford. And do remember to join Maddie on Monday to look back on the Arc and all the other glorious racing this weekend. And I'm back now. Actually, I'm not back next week. I can't remember who's back next week, but someone is back next week with 2 more fine judges from the Racing Post to look ahead to Cesarewitch Day at Newmarket. So we'd love you to join us for that.